Thanks, Jan. I think, is there any advice on how you share back when your mind is completely blank? I'd appreciate it if you some. It's no, I was told early on, and I wish they'd told me a long time ago, before I did my first chair, that doing a chair is fairly easy. Just have to remember how it was before you drank, how it was when you drank, and how it is now. And I just share that with anyone else who's thinking of sharing because it's very helpful. You mentioned something about cross-sharing that reminded me of my relationship with Christmas. And I was thinking, if I ever ran a bar, I'd call it the humbug because I think bar humbug kind of does it for me in terms of Christmas. I'm a bit that way, but I love it for the children. I have grandkids who really enjoy it and love it. But apart from that, I just press the fast forward button and get on with it. Getting back to my story, how it was before, I was born in Cyprus. My brother was born in Germany. My father was a sergeant major in the British Army. He then got stationed in Hong Kong, where I spent most of my life till the age of 18. And just reflecting on my early memories. My first memory of my father was him being brought home on a stretcher by four soldiers because he'd been drinking in the sergeant's bar and he was unconscious. Moving on from there, when he left the army, he became a prison officer, and my mother and father and us moved to some housing near the prison, a lovely part of Hong Kong Island, a lovely beach, private beach, and stuff like that. It was beautiful. But my mother and father didn't get on, and they were going towards a breakup, I think possibly to do with his drinking. But I remember as a young child walking in on my mother, and she had cut her wrists and she was filling a milk bottle with the blood. I'm just sharing that because that's how, what I remember as a child in terms of how alcohol affected my family. Moving on to me, I came to England, London in 1974. I was 18 and started work fairly immediately. Once again, just fast forwarding, I spent quite a few years working in pubs and bars, being trained as a bar cellarman, assistant manager, this sort of thing, till the age of 28. And my drinking didn't really take off. I know I've skipped forward quite a lot there without missing a lot of earlier life, but that'll do, I think, because I just want to talk about drinking in AA. But that's my story that I want to get across. So working in pubs and bars till the age of 28, my drinking didn't really take off particularly. Life had its ups and downs, but that's life. But wasn't really affected by alcohol. And at the age of about 28, I went to work in advertising, publishing, telephone sales, which was a very, very high stressful environment because it was commission only at the time. And if you didn't sell anything, you didn't go home with any money. And as a consequence, I think that assisted in my drinking. And also, as a group, they drank at lunchtime, they drank after work. And I think that's when my alcoholism or alcoholic drinking kicked off at that sort of age. Longer story short, I, at about the age of 32, found myself living with a lady who became pregnant. She already had a young boy, 3-year-old, and she gave birth to my son. And about this time, as I remember, it's a bit foggy, but I remember that drinking was an issue that I wanted to investigate and find out about. So I went to a couple of meetings, AA meetings, maybe two or three, and I didn't hear anything at all. And I stayed sober on my own willpower for 6 months. After that 6 month period, I had a drink to celebrate my willpower, and that lasted 13 and a half years till I got back into AA as a beaten man. Sharing parts of my life story in terms of what happened. I was, as I say, involved with a lady, a baby boy. He was 5, and my stepson was 8 at the time, and she stopped coming home. She's staying out at night and was seeing another person. And another long story short, my next door neighbor said to me, "You were well." A friend said that you shouldn't stand for that. So one day she came back, and I slapped her. And I'm not a violent man, never had a fight in my life, really. And she ran screaming for the house, came back with the police, took the kids. A couple of days later, she came back with the kids, gave the kids back to me. And I didn't see her again for a few years, really, maybe sort of once a year. It was really, she kind of deserted the family. But a very important God moment in that time is when, I slept. So my next door neighbor said, "Whatever you do, don't leave the house." And I think, you know, that was just such an important thing to tell me, because otherwise she'd have taken the kids and they'd have been involved in God knows what relationship. So I stood my ground and said she didn't come back. And I became a single parent, 2 boys, aged 5 and 8. My alcoholism didn't stop there. I didn't really get into AA until they were 15 and 18. And the reason I don't really want to go into the story of that, it's a little bit the mother of the children one day rang me and was very abusive. And I was watching a football match while I was drinking at the time. And I asked a friend I was drinking with to drive me round to her house so I could just tell her the error of her ways. And he drove me to a flat, which was ground floor flat. And I got out of the car, went to the window, started banging on the window for her to come out and discuss where she went wrong. And as I was banging on the window, the glass shattered. There was a scream of a child inside and the screeching of tires as my friend who had driven me there drove off at high speed. And anyway, I went into blackout, went walking home from that place, and came out of blackout somewhere in North London, Muswell Hill, in a road called Tetherdown Road, which was quite weird that I came out of blackout there, because later on in life that was going to be quite often a place of an AA meeting. But anyway, I got home. I woke up the next morning and I thought, "Oh, I'm fucking hell, what the hell have I done?" And I rang her to apologize and she said, "You need help." And anyway, I then rang the AA telephone office because I had that years ago experience of AA. And that's the first thing that came to my mind. And they sent me to a meeting in North London in Frere and Barnet. And that was April 15th, 2002. After the meeting on April 16th, 2002, I rang the telephone office and I asked them what they thought they were doing, sending me to such a shithole. And they were very apologetic. They understood perhaps where I was coming from. But 10 years later, I was still at that meeting every week. I was the key holder and done lots of service and whatever. It became my home group, very much part of my soul. But that just shows you first impressions. And it was a bit of a shithole in those days, because I don't know what other people's experience are, but in those days they allowed smoking. And I couldn't see the end of the room for all the cigarette smoke, and I was a reformed smoker, so it's a bit dodgy. Thankfully, they don't do it that way anymore. But yeah, most of my recovery, apart from the last 5 years, was face to face. Because of COVID, obviously, I've been in Zoom 4 years or so. In traditional Zoom meetings where I did service, hosted, and co-hosted. And it's only in the last year I found secular, which is very, very important to me, because I don't believe in God. I haven't read the big book, not had a sponsor or done the steps in an AA traditional way. But as of July 21, I haven't had a drink. So July 23, I haven't had a drink for 21 years, one day at a time. And just for me, just getting back to my early days, you know, I did not know what was wrong with me until I sat in an AA meeting. They said, "You know, you take that first drink, it kicks off the craving and mental obsession." And as I said, I had no idea. I think I went to the first AA meeting to see if they could teach me how to drink properly. But I didn't understand the illness at all until I heard that. And I thought, Fucking hell, that's what's been wrong with me all this time. I used to wake up in the morning and my first thought was I want a drink, and then I drive to work thinking, how soon can I get a drink? Make an excuse, get out the office. I used to often tell them I'm washing the car and I just go in the pub and have a top up. I was a top up drinker, daily drinker. Always made sure I had it in the house. And yeah, the don't know how long I've been going on now, if I've made any sense at all. But just sharing my experience, as I say, I have not followed the traditional AA way. I've stood outside the herd for 21 years. But for me, things that saved my life were in my second or third meeting, a guy shared he didn't believe in God, hadn't read the big book, and he'd been there 14 years. And that saved my life because I thought I was joining some kind of religious cult. I had all this God stuff written on the walls, and I just didn't identify with that at all. And that was massively helpful. And I always share that saved me. Second thing that saved me was a lady teacher who did the chairs said, do what works for you and leave the rest. And that I have to this day, that's been my journey. I sort of have been trying to rewrite the big book and rewrite the steps just because that's how I am. And for me, my understanding of steps is that, we accept our illness and relationship with alcohol as far as that craving and mental obsession is concerned. We accept we can't do it alone. We accept we needed to re be constantly reminded, the acceptance of needing to attend regular meetings. I is for illness, we is for wellness. I heard that recently. We realize where we went wrong in life and I tried not to live that way. Make amends where possible without making things worse in any way. Carried a message of recovery to other people, and just sharing my experience. I don't speak for AA or anyone else. I just share my experience. I can't share your experience, but AA has saved my life. My two sons, so we're 15, 18, they're 37 and 40 now. Five grandchildren attached to that who are beautiful and lovely. Lovely Christmas for them. I have a wonderful relationship with them. Very loving. Yeah, my younger son Daniel came to an AA meeting with me when he was about 15, so sometime around there. And he just thought it was some kind of comedy club because everyone was telling jokes and laughing. And a few years later, he came to an AA meeting and heard me do the speaker chair. And I'll never forget it because as we left the meeting, shoulder to shoulder, he just said, "Proud of my dad." And that's something that will live with me till I pass from this world. And my older boy, who is my stepson from the age of three, just rang me, might be a couple of years ago now, but he was in tears and he just said, "Dad, I just wanted to say thank you, for being there for me and always checking up on me. And you can't buy that stuff. AA saved my life. One day at a time is massive. I didn't get it at first. When I took it on board, it really took the world off my shoulders because I cannot not drink tomorrow now. So, and just finishing on in my first year, I remember the worry of Christmas and when I, with the sort of adverts for beer and alcohol all over the place and the sort of Christmas festivities. But when I got there, one day at a time kicked in. It's just another day, and so blessed to. Even after years, I just don't drink today. And other stuff you can think about more than one day, but when it comes to drinking, just today I don't do it. And get to meetings because we need that reminder. It's an illness that tells you you haven't got it. I find that to be a fact. And if you stay away from meetings and people that know what this is all about, you just completely forget what the hell it was all about. So meetings are key. I hope I've said something that helps someone else. Happy new 2025. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to leave it there. Thank you.